Paul Kuharsky from PaulKuharsky.com with us for the next hour, talking all things Tennessee Titans. We'll take your questions for PK on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. We were just talking about the placement of the coaches' photo down there at the owners' meetings. Nice job putting Vrabel and Callahan like right next to each other. Vrabel towering over him from behind. Good stuff.
I wonder if it's accidental when they map that out. You know, it's like those tournament matchups where the second round is Patino against Calipari.
Yeah, right. Well, Vrabel had a big smile on his face, kind of laughing, and Callahan is looking off into the 1,000-yard stare, but not into the camera. I just have this imaginary conversation where Vrabel's like, "Hey, Cali, how's Amy doing?" And then they take the picture.
Totally conceivable.
Any sign of Amy at the owners' meeting?
She's there. Okay. She's there for sure, but I didn't see her. I mean, but I didn't see Jerry Jones, and Jerry Jones That's goes shocking. To those things wanting to be seen.
He's saying dumb stuff to somebody right now. Oh, I don't know who Micah Parsons' agent is.
You know, the funniest Cowboys storyline there is like Brian Schottenheimer is probably the least recognizable coach in the NFL. Could you pick him out of a lineup right now?
No way. Not a chance.
Only because he had that kind of strange presser when he was hired. But before that, no way.
I mean, how amazing is that if you think about who the Dallas Cowboys are and what? I mean, yeah, Dave Campo has that.
I was going to say, Dave Campo.
Dave Campo had that too, but you would have thought that Jerry got, like, hey, the Dave Campo thing wasn't so good for
Jerry
us.
Jerry likes his coaches to be anonymous. So we all talk about Jerry.
He does.
Except when they suck, which is – forever.
The Jimmy Johnson, Bill Parcells eras were pretty good compared to.
Yeah.
Let's head to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Ed from New Jersey. Ed, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Good morning, gentlemen. So I got to thinking, and as my family would warn me, that's dangerous. But this is a career shaping decision, obviously, for a GM. And I was thinking about two scenarios, and I'm wondering what's more riskier. If you were the GM right now, is taking a quarterback at one and he busts more risky than passing a quarterback at one and he turns out to be great? So if you guys were in that chair, what would you think, you know, as far as your career is concerned, what would be the less riskier option?
Well, I mean, if you take him and he turns out, if you don't take him and he turns out to be great, you're going to get killed, and that's really bad for your career. Plenty of people have taken a guy who turns out not to be good, and especially if he's your first guy, survived it. I mean, if Mike Borgonzi takes Cam Ward and he turns out not to be good, does he get a chance at a second quarterback? I mean, it depends.
If Robert Irsay were his boss, I guess he'd get a bunch.
It depends on what else he does for the franchise. But
John Robinson never got a chance to draft one.
Yeah, I would think, but he had a long term. I would think the better scenario for Borgonzi is to take him. Than for him to turn into a great player somewhere else.
See, yeah, I would argue the other way. Because I think at least if you don't take him and he ends up being great elsewhere, you still have the opportunity to take your guy at some point, whether it's next year or whenever that would be. Now, if all things are equal and you don't take the guy and then you end up taking somebody next year and Cam Ward turns out to be great, that's not a great spot.
Going with the math of he's probably not going to be great. They're all probably not going to be great. So I'll go ahead and go with the option where him not being great, which is way more likely, doesn't hurt me.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, that's not what this guy's asking, though. The guy's asking he's here and he's bad or he's somewhere else and he's great. Which one?
Yeah, sure.
Neither one of them are great.
I lost sight of Ed's call. My fault.
And quite frankly, guys, and I think you'll agree with me here, this is probably how it goes. If he's here, they screw him up. That's what happens. And if he goes somewhere else, he'd probably
be amazing.
I mean, that sucks for the Titans fans. That sucks for the Titans. But that's how things work here to a degree.
I mean, there is something to that. Now, granted, you know, if he goes to Cleveland,
Or the I guess the Giants a little bit less so. But, like, if he goes to Cleveland, do you really expect, oh, good, it's Cleveland. Everything works out for those guys. It's going to go great.
I agree with that if you look at Cleveland over a long period of time. But I think Cleveland, outside of the Deshaun Watson thing, which they've admitted is a mistake, which the Titans don't do, by the way, unless John Robinson's talking. I think Cleveland is not a poorly run organization. They got a bad owner who made a bad call. Do they have a decent roster? Do they have a coach of the year?
Yeah, they obviously have a clue on some things based on, like, basically they just made the one ungodly mistake.
It's hard to get away from your history if you're the Browns, obviously. Yeah. There's a lot working against you.
But they've actually hired some people who know what they're doing. Yes, that's a good point.
They do.
I keep agreeing with PK. It's a problem.
Well.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah. Robbie, find something that'll divide us.
I got something.
Okay.
Do you?
Oh, yeah.
Torpedo bat?
My personal text line.
Okay.
Actually, by the way, Gentry says he gets confused for you a lot, too. Speaking of the domes, Gentry SS of the Tennessee.
And John Glennon, I mean, constantly in the locker room, a guy will be like, didn't I just talk to you?
Rares back to punch you, and they're like, oh, no, wait. No, you're not PK.
No, I'm the meek one who can't get a question.
Stilly told me my rant needed to be about you, Paul Kaharsky, reporting Taylor Zarzur is the next voice of the Titans 3 weeks after he did.
He pointed that
out
to me.
Your response.
He pointed that out to me, and I immediately corrected to give credit.
Okay.
And pointed out that my report added new stuff to it, that Zarzur would need to live in Tennessee, would be a full-time employee, and would be very much in the ilk of Mike Keith as opposed to this dropped in guy that we thought was potential independent contractor on Sunday. So there was a lot new to my report. I apologize. I don't look to Jared Stillman's Twitter account for Titans news.
Did he tweet it or did he just say it on his show? I don't know.
No, he actually tweeted it and he sent me the tweet. So I'm apologetic on that. I complain about miscredit all the time. So if I fail at it, I'm quick to resolve it. So I apologize to Jared. I told him that. I immediately tweeted something about it.
Geez, shut up, Jared. He already apologized. Why am I supposed to rant about
this? He's going to stretch it out as long as he can because apparently Zars is a client of Jared's one source. But no, I think it's important to clarify that I want to get that right.
Apparently other people in town have also ignored Stilley's reporting on this.
I've seen that.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think Stilley needs to set straight. When your Twitter account is full of Mike Vrabel let Terrell Williams coach the preseason game because the league demanded that he do so, people aren't looking to your Twitter account to say, oh, what do I need to credit Stilley for?
This guy's got his finger on the pulse of reality. Let me see if I can find some breaking news. But, yeah, I mean,
before I hit send on this, I need to sift through 100 tweets of BS for the one nugget that he found.
Okay, so now your apology is a little bit less.
The apology is eroding.
I apologize, but I'm contextualized. I apologize and contextualize.
Now let me rip your ass.
Now I'm putting some rap lyrics together.
Yeah, there you go.
Hey, by the way, I think Zars is pretty good. So, I mean, obviously that's pretty big
shoes to
fill.
I'm not that familiar with him. Now, I'm told he's going to be nothing that takes away from his Titans responsibilities, but he'll be able to do other stuff.
Yeah, but that should be that way.
Yeah, but he calls golf majors on the radio. Yeah. They're not going to have him call Thursday, Friday, Saturday and disappear for the final round of a tournament when the Titans are playing at noon on Sunday.
You wouldn't think.
So he's definitely losing that. Now, he could call a college football game on Saturday, I would think. You know, and catch up to the team Saturday night here or wherever. Wherever they're playing,
so he is good.
I'm not that familiar with him.
Can we run some? Do we enjoy clips of him?
Somebody tweeted me that when he gets excited, he sounds a little bit like Stilley. If that, in fact, is the case,
I don't know if I'd make that connection. I don't think they sound very similar.
Now I'm really intrigued. I gotta hear this.
615-737-1025. Our phone number. More coming up next with PK. Take more of your Titans questions. on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Robbie and Rexrow, 102.5, 106.3, the game. It's time for the fourth annual 615 Open Charity Golf Tournament. Cromwell Media, along with partners Fox 17, Outfront Media, and Social Indoor, proud to announce we'll be back at Hermitage Golf Course coming up on Thursday, May 29th, to make a difference while having a great time. You can join us and a few guest media members, athletes, and musicians as we raise money for Folds of Honor. Donation will go to provide life-changing scholarships to families of America's fallen or disabled military and first responders. You can sign up to play or sponsor at 615open.com. PK with us here on the program, taking your thoughts on the Titans. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. PK, we were talking with Charles Robinson yesterday, and we've talked a lot about wide receiver and the obvious need that's there. Towards the top of the draft, it's not necessarily the same as it's been in recent years past, where there are some elite guys coming out. Now, if the Titans are picking a quarterback at the top of the draft, I guess that part doesn't really matter to me because they're not going to get one of those guys anyway. But I look at the rest of the draft here, and there are some guys like a Luther Burden or an Egbuka out of Ohio State that could be in play for them at 35. So when it comes to pick number 35, and you have the potential of some what we think to be pretty high-level wide receivers still on the board, you have guys maybe like Landon Jackson and edge rushers that are still on the board, how do you weigh the opportunity to pick one of those guys at key positions of need versus the potential of trading back and maybe missing out on some high-quality guys at positions of need just to pick up some extra picks down the road?
I think there are probably some guys, you know, Burden chief amongst them, like if he gets to 35, it's too hard to resist. But I talked to Borgonzi specifically about this, you know, if you're not trading out of one, how much they covet top 100 picks, you know, can you trade from 35 to 40, 35 to 45, get yourself back into the third round and come out of that with a second rounder and a third rounder. And he said, you know, definitely look at that. You know, will this guy still be there at 40? Will one of this cluster of guys still be there at 45? So it's definitely something that they're considering as a possibility. And I think a lot of people would like to see it. The thing is, you know, oftentimes you're thinking about that as a plan, and then there's somebody there that you just think is too good of a value, somebody that's slipped through and fallen, particularly if there's a wide receiver or an edge, for how much they need it. And so you say, is this wide receiver or edge substantially better than the rest of the group in our eyes, that it makes it better for us to get this guy than to trade back and get a lesser guy at this position plus a guy at the other position? And I do think there maybe is an outside chance, you know, the receivers are good but not great, that a tight end who is Borgonzi told me, like, a lot of these tight ends now are just big slots. Now, they need a tight end who's a big slot who can also line up to the tackle and do some significant blocking. But if they find a guy like that, you know, is Terrence Ferguson that guy? I know that he was in for a 30 visit.
Yep.
You know, whether it's at 35 or 40 or 45, if they think that tight end's better than the wide receiver there, as much as they need wide receivers, I could see a scenario where they decide that the tight end is a better value, and they surprise people and make that move.
Well, if the Saints all of a sudden decide, I'm looking at the Saints, and I'm kind of intrigued by the idea of the Saints deciding that Cam Ward is the future of their franchise. I mean, that's like in that range is where if the Titans were there, Tyler Warren, there you go. You failed on Brock Bowers a year ago. Get Tyler Warren this year.
If you're in that range, you're picking up a substantial haul. You're getting moving back to
conceivably three ones there, which would be, you know, miraculous. But I still think I don't think you can take a tight end in the first round of this draft, given what you need. I think you need to find
your way. It's not a tight end. It's Tyler Warren.
Yeah, I understand. But I think you need to find yourself find your way to an edge or a receiver. But I get what you're saying. He's pretty spectacular. And the guys at the top of this, I mean, Loveland is also a very intriguing
He's a good player.
Well, and let's be clear, like in my opinion anyway, they need a tight end. Like,
oh, they need
the tight ends that
they
have are not good enough. Like, they're okay. They're serviceable players in Wiley and in Chig, but they are at some point here in the next, as they're going through this roster overhaul here, some point in the next couple years, you're going to have to find a better tight end.
Sooner than later. The only reason it doesn't rank as high is because they have people. They don't have a second receiver on the roster. They don't have a number one edge on their roster. They do have guys they can roll out at tight end, though they are not as good as you want.
But to me, again, it goes back to the whole thing of you just – if he's the best player, if you were in that spot and that's the best player that you believe, you know, that you have rated, then I don't care that you have those guys. Great. Take the best player. That you go – you do that – over and over again, over you know, you're going to end up having a better football team.
Yeah, that
and if your evaluations are good, correct.
Yeah, that's the kind of discipline that they're talking about. I don't disagree with you. The fan base would need to really be educated on that concept.
Speaking of the Titans and their discipline, Dustin from Hopkinsville said you sold your damn soul to the Titans organization. It sickens him. Your response to this?
Nonsense.
What does that even
it?
Mean?
I don't know. Because he's not ripping them, like for everything. I guess.
I don't know what decision have they made.
Well, I was about to say, what is there to rip them about right now?
don't worry, he's ready to rip them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you see what Borgonzi got for breakfast at the owners' meeting? Can't trust that guy. I mean,
tried to serve him eggs, but you know, the Pelissero's eggs, but he chose the quiche.
The food at this place is unbelievable.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh God.
What'd you have?
I'm sickened by the regular food that I'm now required to eat in my house. Actually, my wife made this phenomenal fish last night that made me feel like I was still at the hotel.
There you go. Nice.
But when I go home to have breakfast this morning of my own doing, it's really going to be disappointing.
Really going to be a letdown. Let's head back to our 102.5 The Game phone line. Welcome in Nate to the program. Nate, good morning.
Nathan.
Thanks for calling in.
Morning, guys. I dropped off for a brief second earlier, and so I don't know if y'all had gotten into this with PK, but y'all had discussed it just among yourselves earlier in the show. I want PK's opinions on what Trevor Maddich had to say yesterday about Will Levis, just because, you know, he kind of is an outsider in the city. So I just wanted to get your opinions on that, sir.
Yeah, real quickly, for those who missed it, basically the –
The
summation of Maddich's comments were that the conditions around here between the offensive line and wide receiver were so bad that there's no way the Titans could really have a good evaluation of if Levis is good or not.
Which does not line up with what Trevor Maddich was saying during the season last year. Nobody remembers Trevor Maddich being hugely pro-Levis.
Do you remember him ripping him? Like, I don't know.
Weekly comments last year during – Stilly. I don't listen to Trevor Maddich.
Well, then how do you know what he said?
You said that it didn't
I just said I don't remember. I don't remember him being strongly in defense of Levis.
I don't recall that.
If he was strongly in defense of Levis, Stilly would have disagreed with one of his regular guests for the first time in history, and we would have known about it. So, look, there are a batch of people that feel that way. Mel Kiper feels that way. I had a long conversation with him before the combine where he said that. You know, he's ticking off games and things that went wrong. Look, the fact that they had a bad offensive line and bad receivers didn't make Will Levis throw the interception in Chicago. It didn't make him try to flick that ball against the Jets. That level of bad decision-making wasn't a result of the bad roster. It was a result of a bad brain.
Wow.
It's harsh.
Is that not true? Well,
I don't know if he has a bad brain.
Well, he had a bad brain in those moments. He had a bad brain in those moments. Okay. He's a bad decision maker in those moments.
Brain fart.
This idea that Will Levis, the ability to characterize Will Levis or make any decisions about Will Levis is completely canceled out by him having a bad offensive line and a bad wide receivers is nonsense. Joe Burrow came into the league and he had a bad offensive line, and you could see that Joe Burrow was good. Josh Allen came into the league and he didn't have great stuff around him, and you were able to.
He was pretty bad early, but yeah.
Yeah. But you were able to see things in his game that told you this guy's got a chance to be pretty good. I mean, quarterbacks don't come into the league generally if you're looking for a quarterback and you put him in the lineup. Very rarely is a Brock Purdy sliding into the lineup of a very good team.
Right.
Quarterbacks are evaluated all the time out of being put into bad situations. Do you soften the grade here and there because the protection was bad on this play and the receiver ran the wrong route on this play, or if the guy had been a step faster here? Yeah. All of that stuff goes into the fact. But you can't say this guy gets a pass for last year because they were bad on the offensive line and they had no receiver. No, that's ridiculous. That's not real life.
You're contradicting yourself a little bit, which I'll get to next.
We'll get into that. Coming up next, we've got more with PK. Take more of your thoughts on the Titans. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. This week's Nashville's Best Deal comes from Bad Axe Throwing Nashville, downtown's largest axe throwing venue and your go-to spot for food, fun, and vibes. Enjoy panoramic views of the city, a killer soundtrack, craft cocktails from the full bar, and a Northwoods-inspired menu with a southern twist. This week, score half off a $50 gift card while supplies last. Head to thegamenashville.com/deals and grab yours now. Paul Kuharski with us here on the program. Joe said that PK was contradicting himself in the last segment, so let's get to that.
Yeah, you just said if Levis had shown anything good, well, then why do you think he's going to be a good quarterback someday? You've said that before, too. Which is it?
Well,
can he be a good quarterback, or does he have a bad brain?
Well, I think he has a bad brain that could get better. But look, it's happened to other guys. That's why I think if you go and you sit a year behind in Sean Payton's system, in Kyle Shanahan's system, in Sean McVay's system, in some of the Ben Johnson maybe in his system,
Liam
in whatever, that you have a chance in a league without a lot of good quarterbacks to reinvent yourself and resurface. But I think it's a time thing more than anything. You got to get out of your first bad experience, go away, kind of be a monk for a year, and that you have a chance then to resurface and be a serviceable to, the 15th best quarterback in the league. I think there's potential that he can do that.
Okay. I've moved on from your contradiction to this is how is Stilley has no clue if Maddich was defending Levis
Here's
all
how.
Season?
How Here's
does
how.
He not know what's said on his show?
Here's how. He doesn't listen.
He listens.
He's obsessing on what he's going to say, and the guest is really irrelevant. It's just somebody to talk long enough to give Jared a chance to come up with the next thing he's going to say.
Okay, that's an interesting theory.
There we go.
So he doesn't
know. Disagree?
Which I don't know. I mean, you're like our neurosurgeon today talking brains.
I mean, that's a ridiculous.
He has an interesting
that
one.
He doesn't
I'll give you that.
That he doesn't know what a weekly guest said over 17 weeks about the starting quarterback in Tennessee.
He's going to go back through clips, though. He's going to. He'll do the research.
That's right. That's amazing. He's got to do the research in order to give an answer on that.
So, PK, I want to ask
Stay
you about
tuned.
This.
At 2 o'clock today, Jared Stillman's going to tell us what his weekly guest said all of last season about the Titans' starting quarterback so that we know if he contradicted himself with his overriding opinion months later.
We'll find out coming up a little bit later today on the program. So, I want to ask you specifically about some comments that Callahan had that we talked about the other day. You know, there's all this discussion about the disciplined approach and leaving the door open for trades to happen and move back and collect draft capital. Callahan also said, quote, and I'm reading from PaulKuharski.com, "I think anytime you can find a quarterback that can lift your football team and you feel is the caliber of player you're talking about, those guys are worth more. There is really no price on those guys. So I guess I'll ask it to you this way. Does the fact that they're apparently still listening, having this disciplined approach, does that tell you that they don't think Cam Ward is that type of guy? Or is this just as simple as people are reading way too much into this, they've not made their decision yet, and maybe they do eventually think Cam Ward is that guy, and no matter what the Giants or the Saints or the Browns or whoever end up offering the Titans, nothing's going to be good enough?
Yeah, well, I said they basically confirmed what we've said all along, and which I think fans misperceive. Fans are like, well, you know, they've got to put out there that they love Cam Ward in order to really get people to try to trade up. Well, I think it's the opposite. If they love Cam Ward at that spot, they're not dealing out unless they get a Herschel Walker type trade thing that just is like, you're going to completely remake your franchise based on what you get here. If they see a franchise quarterback at number one in Cam Ward, there's nothing more valuable than that. And that's what both Borgonzi and Callahan said on the record. If we see a franchise quarterback in the guy that we can draft at number one, we're taking him. There's no sale there. That's more valuable than anything we could get in return, which I've said all along, I think, is the way it works. They said it now. So we've got it from them instead of from us.
I mean, but it's like, and I get the discipline thing, but also you're still trying to see that? You still think that there's something that'll tell you that? I mean, you have the information. You know if that's true or not.
Well, you have the information specifically with Ward. Now, I guess, I mean, there's still a workout with Sanders to go through. And,
and Travis
stuff.
Hunter.
And Hunter. But you have, like, all of your quote-unquote touch points are done with Cam Ward.
Oh, they could still Zoom with them.
That's true. They could
for,
Zoom.
I think an hour.
But, I mean, they've met with, you know, Sanders has been in for a visit, right? They've, you know, they've met those guys. The film is still the most important thing.
Yeah.
You know.
Good sense of where they are. They are wary of finalizing it. Now, you can read into that if you want. If they're wary of finalizing it and they're being honest about that, that tells you something about, well.
And it matches up with what people think about these quarterbacks. It matches up.
Yeah. But still.
They're not that guy.
But still, not that guy. But in this draft, with our position, is he close enough to that guy that we feel we've got to move forward with him as that guy?
We should record that and send them to the Titans. That would be their marketing campaign. It's very exciting for Titans
fans.
Well,
we know their marketing campaign's been terrific. I mean, look at the way they marketed their free agent class.
You will not talk to them. We want to be humble, so they will not speak.
We do not want to get expectations out of control here.
Humble
Dan Moore gets up there and speaks.
13 new Titans. Anonymous.
No one knows who they are.
We may let you watch them walk off the field after OTA. Stay tuned. Smoke weed constantly.
Thank you.
Coy from Clarksville on the text line says, I like how we don't blame Callahan for how he was supposed to develop Levis. Levis got worse under Callahan. What do you think he's going to do with Ward? This is from Coy in Clarksville.
He didn't do a great job with Levis. But, I mean, there's a fair question about just how good Levis is. I mean, the league judged Levis as not a first-round talent.
Yeah, and
Joe correctly says first-round talent at quarterback generally misses. So what about second-round talent?
Right. Yeah. Yeah, and also, Coy, I mean, we've talked about Callahan and the whole development. That's a huge part of this. So if they take Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders, which would be my choice, then this year is, to me, it's about, do you see progress from that guy? Do you see a good work relationship? Do you see hope moving forward? That overwhelms anything else to me.
I'll tell you one thing, though, that's interesting about this from the Callahan front. Like, we've talked about, like, what's it going to take for him to save his job next year? If you draft Cam Ward and there's meaningful progress there, well, then I've talked about, like, I don't love the idea of drafting Cam Ward and then just firing the coach after that. Now, what happens if they don't draft Cam Ward? What happens if this is the quarterback room heading into next year? Beyond like Brandon Allen or Will Levis getting him to 9 or 10 wins, which just seems laughable at the moment. How does Brian Callahan save
his job? If Will Levis is better? I mean,
pray for Will Levis' health first off.
And they don't win 10 games, but what if Will Levis is markedly better? Is that not on Callahan for improving him?
Yeah, it would be.
I don't think that's saving his job.
But here's the other thing.
If the wins don't follow with that, it's not saving his job.
At Callahan,
so let's say they go 7-10 and Levis is quite a bit better.
I don't think that's saving his job.
You don't think so?
No.
I mean, I have no idea. I think Amy could fire anyone at any time.
Yeah, I think it would put him on the fence. I mean, they're talking about slow progress. Here's the thing about Brandon Allen, and I mean, I thought Callahan was ridiculous here. He's talking about, you know, I think Brandon Allen's underrated, you know, and he talked about him being pretty good. And I said, Brian, he's done nothing in – or no, Tim Boyle, sorry. Oh. He's talking about Tim Boyle. I said, you know, does this. I said, he hasn't had any success. He said, well, in games. Yeah, well, isn't that where you need to see some success? So, I mean, I understand he's your third/fourth quarterback. But when you're breaking down the tape so thoroughly that you're going to look for minuscule things that are encouraging about a guy who's been absolutely horrid in game performance, I mean, you're grasping at straws.
Good guy around the building, right? That's what it's about. Good, I mean, about clearly.
I mean, generally your fourth quarterback is an undrafted free agent. Are you looking for a fourth quarterback who's good around the building?
Everybody counts in that culture, Paul.
It's beautiful.
He'll be the third when Levis is in Jacksonville in 2 months.
And Brandon Allen, too, he said, you know, is an underrated guy. Well, if Brandon Allen is so good, why has there been no market for Brandon Allen ever?
He did. He was very highly complimentary of Brandon Allen.
I mean, yeah, and we're hearing great things about Will Levis. And again, when they draft Cam Ward, we will hear that he was always the number one guy all along, and it was you guys were just out there just guessing and chasing your tail, and we always had him number one.
Well, I think if they say that, I mean, we could come back and say, so you were lying to us throughout the process, and they're going to have to say yes.
Will they? I look forward to this conversation.
What are they going
to
say? We're going to say, well, you said on March 30th that you were still finishing the process and that you
that's what we had to say publicly, that we are going to be disciplined. We have a process.
Okay, so that was
but amongst ourselves, well, no. Amongst ourselves, he was our guy all along. We were not going to tell you that.
So you lied.
Okay, fine. Then who cares?
Yeah, I'm fine with – I mean – I don't know that you have to make a pronouncement that he was your guy all along in order – what are you, fluffing him?
Yeah. It's called the NFL. It's what they all do.
They're going to have a press conference after the draft?
Here's a video of Cam Ward with Jimmy Wyatt.
That's right. That's if they have a press conference with Cam Ward. I mean, they could draft Cam Ward and then say, like, hey, see him at rookie camp. I think it doesn't matter to me when – if Cam Ward's their guy on April 24th, he's their guy on April 24th, it doesn't matter to me when they decided it.
No, that's fine. But I still say, like, some of these guys, the film – you know, all the other stuff is please don't be an axe murderer and we're taking you because the film says we have to take you.
Yeah.
And in this case, I think it's more like, gosh, is there something really good here? So maybe this film looks a little better after we talk to him, right? That's the difference.
Hopefully the Titans do not draft an axe murderer in the first round. 615-737-1025. Our phone number, 615-737-1025. One more segment coming up next with PK, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Got some tickets to give away to see Adam Ray is Dr. Phil at the Pinnacle this Sunday. Be caller 3, 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. Dr. Phil, another bald guy. A lot of bald people on the show today.
We're everywhere.
We had National Joe Day last week. I assume there's probably a National Bald Guy Day.
There is, also say every day is National Bald Day.
You could say a lot of things.
We don't really need a special day, Joe. We're humans.
A National Bald
the Human Fund.
Bald is Beautiful Day is September 13th, so we'll have to have a celebration of that.
Okay.
here on the show.
So Stilly's responded to you, huh? Stilly, but not to PK or me. He's afraid of us.
Stilly has responded. There's been some digging that's gone on.
This is interesting. Stilly has moved from. I've texted with him. Joe's texted with him. He didn't like what we said, so he texted
Ron.
He's
moving me.
Yeah. It's, it just moves be to. Nice and maybe you. This guy will be more favorable.
Be gentle. Be gentle.
So apparently after some digging, there
by
has
his
been.
Producer, by his producer. Not him.
Ian Safar. Hi, Ian. He has determined that apparently Trevor Maddich said that Rudolph needs to continue to play until he proves he can't do it because Levis is making crazy mistakes to lose them games. And that was on October the 1st.
There will be no time spent on that show today about the guest contradicting himself. Agreeable Ian, we call him.
So then, yeah, that's what kind of what I thought I remember. I don't remember Trevor Maddich being especially, like, attacking Will Levis. He's pretty level-headed in general. But, yeah, I just don't remember any point where I was like, really? You think, yeah, that's pretty favorable. But yesterday was, like, impassioned.
It was.
Defense of him.
It was. There's not a whole lot of that going around right now.
No. But yep. But you know what? There is some. There, I mean, every time this comes up, first of all, some people get mad that we even talk about Levis anymore. Sorry. Like, he's still in the equation.
He's QB1 right now.
Yeah. And but there are always people who respond and say, I don't think he got a fair shake. So, look, I'm willing to admit being wrong. Whenever it happens, I will admit it. And so if this happens here, then
I'll still be stunned too.
And look, there's a large range of possibilities with Will Levis. I don't think there's much of a trade market for him, but I think there's a chance he's quarterback one. I also think there's a chance he's traded. I've been told not to shut the door on that possibility. So
I mean, of course you can't shut the door. I mean, the whole movement here is those two guys are 2 and 3, they draft somebody, and he's out for a 6th for a 7th, right? I mean, that's still the way most likely thing to happen.
I don't think there should be any urgency to get rid of him because I don't think Allen is any better than Will Levis. Will Levis has more upside in a better situation, like people are saying. I mean, I think Will Levis should have accounted for himself better despite the Titans' deficiencies. But given a better line and better receivers and stuff as a backup, I would prefer him coming to 3 weeks of play, subbing for Cam Ward, than Brandon Allen.
Well, I said earlier, I think this is them hedging their bets. If they do get blown away by some offer, now they can pivot and say, okay, Will, you get the year, but we just improved our team a ton for the long term.
Well, they're not getting blown away by any offer for Will Levis.
No, I'm saying blown away by offer for one.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden they don't take a quarterback in this draft, and, okay, I guess Will is QB1, right?
Conceivable. All of it's conceivable.
Did you see Vrabel say that if Travis Hunter ends up in New England, that they'd be open to him playing both sides of the ball? Vrabel throwing it out there that he's going to put Travis Hunter wherever he can put him.
Vrabel's out there saying a lot of stuff.
He's Vrabel at the owners' meetings, absolute rock star. Like, you would think that he's won Super Bowls as coaches, as coach, not just as a player. But by far the most popular. I mean, I didn't see Andy Reid parading around.
What's Vrabel doing out there? Doing, like, tequila body shots? What are we talking about here?
I mean, he's on every show. You know, he had the biggest crowd at his table. And, you know, everybody's coming. I was talking to him at the party, having a drink, and people are just coming to say hello. Kiss the ring.
Yeah, well, good old Vrabes. Boy, it's gonna be awfully interesting.
Yeah, it is. His goal is to win the division. I don't know if you've heard that before, but that's his goal. He made that pretty clear the other day. They wanted to win the division.
I can tell a quick,
story. Good to great?
He's telling me about their cap guy whose name is Miller. He's not the cap guy, but he's their numbers guy with the Patriots. And then very shortly after, there's a guy, Miller, that he's introducing me to. So I presume it's the same guy. So I go, hey, big fan of your cap work. Like, thinking I'll look like, hey, wow, I know.
Oh, this guy knows our organization inside and out.
And then we start talking more, and he's talking about the NBC golf tournament in Reno and that Vrabel plays and everything. I realize this is not the same guy or whatever. So later I say to Vrabel, you really set me up with that Miller. We're talking about Miller, the number guy. And then you introduce me to Miller, the golf guy. And I say, a fan of your cap work. He bends over laughing. He's like, yeah, I did kind of set you up there with the two Millers. He totally praised him for the wrong thing. He's got nothing to do with the cap.
Vrabel still? Getting after Paul.
You and Vrabel playing grab ass. Wonderful.
Hell yeah, grab ass. Don't block the box. Be sure to lock your locks.
That does it for us today on the program. Chase and Big Joe up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3 The Game.